If I welcome the devotees, Prabhuji.
Yes, yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Welcome to the Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference. So today's class will be given by His guest, Adi Gadadha Das Prabhuji, on the topic of Sri teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances on which to Srila Prabhupada or Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving a very valuable time and association and enlightening us on this topic. Please take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, dear Kamodaki Mataji, and my gratitude also to Priti Vilasini Mataji for giving me this opportunity. Today we will be discussing chapter 17 of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. It's very, very important book that we are studying, chapter 17. Before we start, let us chant our Mangalacharan prayers. Om Ajnana Timiram Dhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamhayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvise Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna dear devotees. Let us read from Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, chapter 17. We'll try to summarize this chapter in the next 1 hour. Let us read the beginning of the chapter as it is. Following in the footsteps of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, we offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described as follows. He is the only shelter for the forlorn, the most fallen, and he is the only hope for those who are completely devoid of spiritual knowledge. Hare Krishna. So dear devotees, this is a very important principle that Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Srila Prabhupada are mentioning here. It stresses the importance of humility. Let us think about this for a moment. Here, it is said that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the only shelter for the forlorn, the fallen souls. He is the only hope for those who are completely devoid of spiritual knowledge. So those who are completely down and out, those who are completely lost, for them, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the only shelter. What does this mean? This stresses the importance of humility. If we want to get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if we want to become followers and devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to consider ourselves forlorn, most fallen, and we have to consider ourselves completely devoid of spiritual knowledge. We have to consider ourselves completely foolish and down and out. If we are not like that, then we will not get Krishna's mercy. We can see in Sri Gaura Leela the example of the greatest devotees who were present on the planet at that time. Srila Rupa Goswami and Sri Sanatan Goswami. In what mood did both of them approach Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? In a mood of complete humility, complete surrender. We are sinful. We are very, very fallen. Please give us mercy. We don't know anything. Srila Sanatan Goswami said, I don't know who I am. I don't know what is the aim of life. But still people glorify me as a pandit. And my problem is that I believe them. Srila Rupa Goswami also prayed, Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. You are most merciful and I am most fallen. All our acharyas, Srila Haridas Thakur also, utter mood of humility. If we have that mood of humility and if we really believe that we are forlorn, we are fallen and we don't have any knowledge, we are foolish, then we will become qualified to receive the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If we are proud, then we will not get it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Dinera adhika daya kare bhagavan, pandita kulina dhani, bada abhiman. Dinera adhika daya kare bhagavan. Krishna bestows his special mercy on those who are forlorn, most fallen, and devoid of all spiritual knowledge. Whereas, pandita kulina dhani, those who are pandit, they think they have a lot of spiritual knowledge. Kuli, those who think they are born in a very high family, aristocratic family. And dhani, those who think they are very rich. Such people, they have bada abhiman. They have a lot of pride and therefore they cannot get Krishna's mercy. I have seen a practical example, my dear friends, in this regard. I was once associated with a brother and sister when I was living in Mumbai. And I came to Krishna consciousness through youth preaching in the boys' hostel of the medical school that I was studying at. And after taking up the process of Krishna consciousness, I was struggling, but to whatever degree I was able to take it up. And I was trying to practice with all my defects and failings. But I was closely associated with this family. So I was trying to preach to that brother and sister. Both were approximately my age and we were very close. So I was preaching to them. The elder sibling was the brother and the younger sibling was the sister. And from childhood, the elder brother was, like it is the case in most families, the elder child is more mature and well-behaved. So the brother who was the elder sibling, from his childhood, he was always very peaceful, very calm and quiet, very mature, very good in studies, very sincere, very serious, very soft-spoken. Everyone in the family, the parents, the grandparents, the uncles, the aunties, the cousins, everyone considered this brother as very wise, as the good boy, the good sibling. And the daughter, she was naughty from childhood. Naughty and restless and typical, you know, Bombay kid, wanting to go to movies, cinema halls, restaurants and fashion and this and that. But then, after coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada's message, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message, the sister took up Krishna consciousness seriously. She gave up meat eating, she gave up onion, garlic, tea, coffee, and she started chanting 16 rounds. She became a devotee, she got initiated, and she is very well situated in Krishna consciousness today. But the brother still did not take to Krishna consciousness. Why? I actually asked this question to one of my spiritual superiors at that time, that the brother is the good one. The brother is the one who was always vegetarian. He had attended a summer camp. One Mayavadi philosopher had conducted a summer camp in Mumbai for boys. And he taught the entire Bhagavad Gita in the summer holidays and spoke about many principles like Brahmacharya, like importance of being vegetarian, importance of meditating. So this brother, he was very much influenced, and he had a Bhagavad Gita also written by this, translated by this Mayavadi philosopher, very famous philosopher. All of you must be knowing him. So he was vegetarian. The sister used to eat meat. The sister never read Bhagavad Gita. This boy had read Bhagavad Gita several times in his life. Even when he would want food, he would tell his mother that, "Mother, this body is feeling hungry. Can you please give some food to this body?" He was like that. He had completely accepted the message of Bhagavad Gita. But unfortunately, he was very proud, because from childhood, he was used to being called the good one, the good sibling, the intelligent sibling, the wise sibling, the well-behaved one, the mature one. And he couldn't accept the fact that his little sister could show him the way, or what she's practicing is the right path. He just couldn't accept. So even today, he's not a devotee. So when I was asking my spiritual superior why it is so, why the naughty sister became a devotee and the wise brother did not become a devotee, my spiritual superior told me very clearly, this is the problem with people who think they are in the mode of goodness. Very difficult to preach to them. If someone is eating meat, someone is gambling, someone is intoxicating, someone is breaking the regulative principles, they have a natural humility. Oh, hum to papi hai. You know, I'm very sinful. They have that feeling because they know what they're doing is wrong. So it's easy to uplift them because they have humility. It is easy to uplift them. But if someone thinks that I am in the mode of goodness, then they are very proud. Pandita kulina dhani bada abhiman. They don't get Krishna's mercy because they don't want it. Both of them heard the same preaching. Both of them had the opportunity. But the naughty sister, because she realized this is the right way, she accepted it. And she's a very nice devotee now. And the brother, because of his pride, he couldn't accept. We see the example of the Yajna Patnis and the Yajnik Brahmans also. The wives were pure devotees. But because of their vast learning and their pride, the husbands did not become devotees. Whereas Kaliya listened to his wives. Kaliya also same situation. He was not a devotee, but his wives were pure devotees, the Naga Patnis. But after hearing the prayers of Naga Patnis, after seeing the example of the Naga Patnis, after being humbled by Krishna, Kaliya followed in the footsteps of his wives and became a great devotee. So humility, accepting defeat, accepting that I am finished, I am defeated, that humility is very conducive for spiritual progress, my dear friends. On the other hand, pride is a big obstacle on the path of spiritual progress. That's what we learn from the beginning of this chapter. Let me share the screen again. So we now go to the next paragraph. The supremely powerful Lord Krishna becomes manifest in five different features. Although Krishna is one without a second, in order to serve five specific spiritual purposes, he becomes manifest in five ways. Such diversity is eternal and blissful, in contrast to the conception of monotonous oneness. It's a very important point. So here, Srila Prabhupada is writing that although Krishna is a Supreme Lord and he is Asamordhva, as mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is Asamordhva. Asama means nobody is Sama, nobody is equal to Krishna. And Urdhva means superior, nobody is superior to Krishna, which means no one is equal to Krishna, no one is superior to Krishna, which means everyone is subordinate to Krishna. So although Krishna is the Supreme Lord, Ishvara Parama Krishna, and he is one without a second, he is Adwitiya, he is one without a second, to serve five specific purposes, spiritual purposes, Srila Prabhupada writes, he manifests as the Panchatattva. Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this beautiful Mangalacharan verse, the beginning. So what are these five specific spiritual purposes that Lord Krishna, in his five features as Panchatattva, wants to execute? What are the five purposes? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahi Anya. So Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is original Bhagwan, because he is Krishna. Brajendra Nandana Jai Shachi Suta Hoilo Sei. Shachi Suta Gauranga Mahaprabhu is Brajendra Nandan, Nandanandan Krishna. So Supreme Original God is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And why did he advent? He basically advented, there are internal and external reasons, three internal, three external, but primarily Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes there are two reasons why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. The main purpose, two purposes for Mahaprabhu's advent was, number one, to give the Yuga Dharma to the fallen people in Kali Yuga, which is taking shelter of the holy name of Krishna. Krishna Sankirtan. And number two, to relish Radha Bhava, to relish the mood and the love and the divine emotions of Srimati Radharani, which only Srimati Radharani can relish. Krishna developed a transcendental greed to experience the bhava of Radharani. So to relish Radha Bhava, he came. And to give Gopi Bhava, also he came. So two reasons, to relish and to give. So we have to understand that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came for two purposes. To relish Madhura Prem and to give Madhura Prem. Now, relisher and giver. Relisher and bestower. That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is the specific spiritual purpose for the advent of Sri Nityananda Prabhu? Sri Nityananda Prabhu is the distributor. Nadiyagodrumme Nityananda Mahajan. Sri Nityananda Prabhu has opened the marketplace of the holy name. And all the Shraddhavan Jan, all the faithful people will get Krishna Prem from Sri Nityananda Prabhu. So Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who is the direct expansion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his first expansion is Balram. Brajendra Nandana Jai Shachi Suta Hoilo Sei Balaram Hoilo Nithai. Balramji came as Nityananda Prabhu. What is the purpose? He is the distributor of Krishna Prem. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the relisher and the giver. He brings it down in this material world. Golokera Premadhana Harinama Sankirtana. Who brought it? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought. But who is going to distribute it? It is going to happen mainly through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is the distributor. So he is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's main preacher. All the preaching shakti, prachara shakti comes from Sri Nityananda Ram, who is the Guru Tattva. Second was Nityananda Prabhu. He is the distributor. And what is the specific purpose of Sri Advaita Acharya? The specific purpose of Sri Advaita Acharya is to invite the Lord, invite Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into this material world. And also, when the Leela is completed, when the purposes have been fulfilled, then praying to the Lord to kindly return to the material, to the spiritual world from this material world. So Sri Advaita Acharya is the inviter, and he also sends off the Supreme Lord at the conclusion of Gaur Leela. That is a specific purpose of Sri Advaita Prabhu. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the relisher, Sri Nityananda Prabhu is the distributor, and Sri Advaita Acharya is the inviter. He sets the scene. He makes everything happen. But all these three personalities, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, and Sri Advaita Acharya, are all Vishnu Tattva. They are all Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the original Bhagwan. He is Krishna. He is the source of Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Advaita Acharya also. So that is what is a specific purpose of these three personalities. But there are five personalities. Lord Krishna in five features. Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishna. Krishna only in five features. Who is the fourth personality? It is Sri Gadadhar Pandit. And who is Sri Gadadhar Pandit? He is the Ladini Shakti of Krishna. He is the internal potency of Krishna. He is Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani came as Sri Gadadhar Pandit. And what was the specific spiritual purpose? It was to teach Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Radha Bhava. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. And how will he get Radha Bhava? He has the mood of Radharani in his heart. He has stolen the heart of Radharani. But externally also he needs Radharani to teach him how to act so that he will get Radha Bhava. He will get the Madanakya Mahabhava. And that teacher of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sri Advaita, Sri Gadadhar Pandit. It is Sri Gadadhar Pandit who is the Ladini Shakti. So he is teaching Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is the evidence? In Jagannath Puri, every day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go and sit. And for 3 hours, Sri Gadadhar Pandit would teach Srimad Bhagavatam to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then whatever verses, whatever nectar he would gain from Sri Gadadhar Pandit at night in Gambhira, along with two of his confidential associates, Sri Ramananda Raya and Sri Sarup Damodar Goswami, our Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would actually taste, actually relish the sweetness of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because in public, he could not do it. Because when Gadadhar Pandit would lecture in public, there would be Maharaj Pratap Rudra sitting there. There would be Sarabhaum Bhattacharya sitting there. Gopinath Acharya, Kashi Mishra, they are all sitting. In front of them, Mahaprabhu cannot go in ecstasy. At the most, he would shed tears of love. So would Gadadhar Pandit. But actually singing out those verses loudly and relishing their deeper meaning and the deeper emotions and experiencing Radha Bhav, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did in the daytime. He learnt in the school of Gadadhar Pandit, and at night with Radharani's two most confidential friends, Lalita and Vishakha Sakhi, he would sit in Gambhira, Surup Damodar and Ramananda Raya, and he would actually relish what he had heard from Gadadhar Pandit in the daytime. So Gadadhar Pandit is the teacher of Radha Bhav to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Specific purpose. And what is the specific purpose of Srivas Thakur? Srivas Thakur represents the Tatastha Shakti, the marginal potency, Jivatma. Srimati Radharani is not a Jivatma. So Sri Gadadhar Pandit is not a Jivatma. He is Ladini Shakti, his internal potency. But we spirit souls, we belong to the marginal potency, Tatastha Shakti. There is Antaranga Shakti, there is Tatastha Shakti, and there is Bahiranga Shakti. Jivera Swarup Hai Krishnera Nityadas, Krishnera Tatastha Shakti, Bhed Abhed Prakash. So, Srivas Thakur represents the perfect devotee. And how does he represent the perfect devotee? By the qualities of compassion, dedication, and complete shelter. Compassion is daya, karuna. Srivas Thakur manifested the symptom of a pure devotee, of being compassionate. Jive doya, many times. Jive doya name ruchi, Vaishnava sevan, ehi chadi dharma nahi suno sanatan. How did Srivas Thakur manifest the quality of a pure devotee, of para dukkha dukhi, jive doya, There are many examples. Srivas Thakur forgave Gopala Chapala even before Gopal Chapala begged for forgiveness. Srivas Thakur told him, I never took offense, my dear Gopal Chapala. And he begged Mahaprabhu to please forgive Gopal Chapala. Srivas Thakur forgave Devananda Pandit even before Devananda Pandit begged forgiveness. Srivas Thakur never considered it an offense. And he was always praying that Devananda Pandit should become a great devotee, which he became eventually. Srivas Thakur showed so much mercy to the brahmachari who wanted to enter the all-night kirtans in Srivasangan. The brahmachari who was very austere and would only drink milk. He was not getting entrance. But Srivas Thakur prayed. Srivas Thakur tried. He even hid him. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed mercy. So Srivas Thakur was also responsible for Srimati Shachi Devi, the mother of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, getting Krishna Prem. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not give Krishna Prem to her for a slight offense to Sri Advaita Acharya. But it was Srivas Thakur who saved Srimati Shachi Devi, Srivas Thakur saved Ai. How? He was the one who begged Mahaprabhu during Mahaprakash Lila, please shower your mercy, give your mercy to your Janani, to your mother, Srimati Shachi Mata. Give her mercy, please. And then Mahaprabhu said, I will not give. And the only way I will give is if she takes the dust from the lotus feet of Sri Advaita Prabhu, which Shachi Mata did. And in that way, Shachi Mata was saved by the mercy of Sri Advaita Acharya, by the mercy of Srivas Thakur. He is Narada Muni. And Narada Muni is a transcendental instigator. Because our Acharya's question that why did Srivas Thakur have the audacity to request Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give mercy and to give Krishna Prem to Shachi Mata? Shachi Mata is that great devotee who held Nimai in her womb for 10 months. So what is the doubt that she has Krishna Prem? She is Yashoda. She is the origin of all Vatsalya Prem. So how come she doesn't have Krishna Prem? Of course she has Krishna Prem. But Srivas Thakur is the transcendental instigator. He is transcendentally naughty. To manifest Krishna's Leela, Krishna's pastimes, Narad Muni plays so many tricks. He will come and tell Kansa that eighth child could be any child. It could be the first child, just like our fingers. Which is the first finger? Petals of a lotus. Which is the first petal? You can count them, but the first petal could be the eighth petal. So eighth child doesn't mean anything. So please treat every child as potential Krishna. So then he imprisoned Devaki and Vasudeva, so that the advent of Krishna could be hastened. Krishna Lila could hasten. So this is Narad Muni. He is a transcendental trickster. Always goes and facilitates Krishna Lila. So Srivas Thakur is the perfect devotee through compassion, dedication. Such dedication to Nam Sankirtan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give Prem Nam. And this Prem Nam Sankirtan was going on in Srivas Thakur's courtyard in Srivas Angan, and Srivas Thakur's only son passed away, died that night. And Srivas Thakur was so dedicated that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstasy should not be disturbed by our mourning. He told his family members, he told his wife, Sri Malini Devi, not to cry, not to lament, be quiet, don't disturb. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the source of this whole universe, the original personality of Godhead, is dancing in great spiritual ecstasy in our courtyard. Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi, they are happening every moment in this material world. We have to take birth, die, get old, disease. So for something that is inevitable, why should we disturb the rare once in a day of Brahma, Gaura Leela, that happens once in a day of Brahma. Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi takes place hundreds and thousands of times on this planet every single day. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dancing happens only once in millions of years. So don't disturb. This was the attitude of Srivas Thakur. Dedication. And Sharanagati. Goptritve Varana. Krishna is my maintainer. He would not waste time working in the material world. No mundane job. He didn't have any specific means of livelihood. Krishna provided everything. He claps. And he had such faith, such surrender, such Sharanagati that Krishna, if my family goes hungry, I have so much confidence in you that I will tie a rock around my neck and jump in the Ganga and drown myself. It cannot happen. Krishna will definitely provide. Yoga kshemam vahamyam. Because he is ananya chintayantumam. He is ananya bhakta. Ananya chintayantumam. Ye jana paryupasate tesham nityabhyuktanam. Yoga kshemam vaham aham. Krishna himself will carry what is required. He had such Sharanagati, such faith. That is pure devotee. This is the specific purpose of Srivas Thakur's appearance. He came to teach this. Let's read on. Now we'll go down. See, I have to summarize the whole chapter and it is very difficult to... even if I read the whole chapter, it would take 1 hour. Just quick reading. So I'm going to take the key points. In the Vedic literature, Katha Upanishad, it is stated, I think this refers to Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam, that the Supreme Lord is the supreme living entity amongst all living entities. Chetanas Chetananam, the supreme living entity among all living entities. There are innumerable living entities, but there is one living entity who is the supreme absolute Godhead. And who is that? That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are many living entities. Even God is a living entity. But he is a supreme living entity. He is Vibhu. We are Anu. The difference between the singular living entity, that is Krishna, and the plural living entities, that is all of us, is that the singular living entity, Krishna, or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the Lord of all. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that supreme living entity, and he descended, his avatari, he descended to reclaim the innumerable fallen living entities. So what does this teach us? The purpose of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent. He wants to save and uplift all of us, the fallen souls. But who will not get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Those who want to not get drenched in the shower of mercy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a shower of mercy. Baras rahe hai. Bhagwan ki kripa baras rahi hai. Krishna is showering his mercy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showering his mercy upon us. Samsara dava nalalidha loka tranaya karunya ghana ghanatvam praptasya kalyana. We are being showered. Ghana ghanatvam. We are being showered by the rain-filled cloud of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Guru Parampara. And where is the Parampara getting all the water? It is from He Krishna Karuna Sindhu, from the ocean. That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the ocean of mercy. He is filling up these rain clouds of Guru Tattva and sending our way. Because we are far away from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are far away from the ocean and we are burning in the forest fire. Cheto darpanam arjanam bhava maha dava agni nirvapanam. Davagni nirvapanam. We are in a forest fire, but that forest fire will be nirvapanam, will be extinguished by the rain of mercy. But if we decide that I am not going to get drenched in this shower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, and we hide ourselves in our homes, we shut the doors and windows, and we sit with an umbrella, I will not get drenched. Then who can save us? Then who can save us? That is what is being taught here. That Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended to reclaim innumerable fallen living entities. He came to reclaim, but we should be willing to be delivered. All we have to do is just accept. He's giving. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jibe Doya Kori Swaparshada Shviya Dhamma Sahai Avatari Atyanta Durlabha Prema Kori Bare Dan Shikhaye Sharanagati Bhakatera Pran, this Sharanagati is the life and soul of devotees. And this Atyanta Durlabha Prem, very, very most rare, love of Godhead, Krishna Prem, Kori Bare Dan. He's giving it. All we have to do is give, just receive. It is being given. Just with faith, we have to receive it. It's not difficult. But if we decide, I am going to hide from the rain shower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we cannot get mercy. That is the meaning of what Srila Prabhupada is writing in this paragraph. And the example is, Srila Prabhupada gives the Mayavadi sannyasis of Varanasi, specifically Prakashananda Saraswati and his followers. They did not want to receive the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were criticizing Mahaprabhu, calling him Bhavuk Sannyasi. He is Bhavuk. He is transcendentally Bhavuk. But they were saying it in a demeaning, in a critical way. And therefore, they did not get the mercy. And this chapter ends on a sorrowful note. This chapter that we are reading, it ends, chapter 17 ends on a very sorrowful note. Where Srila Prabhupada writes that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not give the mercy to these people because they did not want it. They would not receive it. They wouldn't take it. So finally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just tolerated their criticisms and left for Sri Vrindavan Dham. But ultimately, these devotees, these Mayavadis, Prakashananda Saraswati, others, they did get the mercy. And how did they get the mercy? By the fifth tattva of Pancha Tattva. The fifth tattva is bhakta, the shuddha bhakta, the potency represented by Srivas Thakur. More mana prabhu asa vishwasa ramate adhik rama kardasa. The devotee of Krishna, Goswami Tulsidas Ji writes in Ramcharitmanas, the devotee of Krishna is more merciful than Krishna. Isiliye, that's why more mana prabhu asa vishwasa ramate adhik rama kardasa. I have got this firm faith that greater than Ram, greater than Ram is Ram's devotee. Greater than Ram is Ramdas. Because in the presence of Ram, Sita was kidnapped. But in the presence of Hanuman, Sita was reunited with Ram. In the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I am not blaming our darling Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but I am just glorifying the devotees for the pleasure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself could not give mercy to Prakashananda Saraswati. But Prakashananda Saraswati got mercy through the potency of the devotee, the Srivas Thakur's representative. And in Varanasi, who was that representative of Srivas Thakur? The Maharashtrian Brahman. The Maharashtrian Brahman arranged the meeting. He invited all the Mayavadis headed by Prakashananda Saraswati. And he requested Mahaprabhu, please come. And because the devotee was requesting, Mahaprabhu did not refuse. Although he was criticized by them previously. Mahaprabhu went and they got mercy. So we can get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu no matter how offensive we are, no matter how sinful we are. If a devotee casts his or her merciful glance upon us, the power of devotee association is tremendous. That is what we learn from the example of the Maharashtrian Brahmin. Let us read on, my dear friends. Verse, now we'll go to the next paragraph. In the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna's last instruction is that everyone should give up all other engagements and render devotional service unto him. But, so what is this verse? Anybody can tell? Krishna's last instruction is that everyone should give up everything and surrender to him and render service unto him. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Manmana bhavamad bhakto. Render devotional service. But after Krishna's disappearance, what happened? Less intelligent people misunderstood Krishna. They became contaminated by what? they became contaminated with the Mayavad philosophy, which produced so many mental speculators that people forgot the actual position of the absolute truth and the actual position of the living entity. Ami tomar nitya das tai kari eta ash toma bina anya gati nahi. Srila Prabhupada writes in his Jaladuta diary. But we forgot this, that ami tomar nitya das toma bina anya gati nahi. We forgot all this because of the contamination of Mayavad philosophy. Therefore, Lord Sri Krishna himself, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, again appeared in order to teach the fallen souls of this material world the way to approach Lord Krishna. So what is Srila Prabhupada trying to tell us here? Again, Srila Prabhupada is giving historical account what happened after Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita and went back. Krishna Swadham Upagate. When Krishna went back to his original spiritual abode, yes, we were left behind with Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, but the Mayavadis, they misinterpreted the holy scriptures. Krishna said, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja. You are my devotees, you are my servants, you are my parts and parcels, Mamay Amsha Jiva Loka Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Mataha Parataram Na Anyat Kinchidasti Dhananjaya Mai Sarvamitam Protam Sutre Mani Gana Iva. I am the thread that supports and holds everything. Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. I am even the support of the Brahma Jyoti. Krishna is the source and support of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mataha sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajate mam buddha bhava samanvita. But nobody was worshipping Krishna. Why? Because they were contaminated by the Mayavad philosophy. Krishna says, surrender to me. And these Mayavadis misinterpreted by saying that, no, not necessary to surrender to Krishna. You can surrender to that divine who is speaking through Krishna. And that divine is everywhere. That divine is undivided. That divine is within you also. So you are God. So might as well surrender to yourself. Like that, they gave misinterpretation. I remember very clearly, I was 18 years old and I went to medical school and the devotees were preaching to me. They were asking me to chant Hare Krishna and I started chanting two rounds. And there was a boy in my class. He was a Jain. He was very peaceful, quiet, well-behaved, studious, did not have any bad habits, you know, did not even eat onion, garlic. You know, materially, very, very good boy. One evening he came to me and I was very depressed because, you know, medical school is initially, it at least seems very difficult because high school is still okay, then college is still okay, and then medical school, suddenly it becomes very tough. Especially for me, it was very tough and my grades were not very good. So I was a little sad. I had got very poor grades in some exams. In the first exam that I took after joining medical school, the first unit test I took, I got very poor grades and I was sad. And this boy, my friend, he came to me and he said that, why are you sad? He held my shoulders. Why are you sad? Do you know how good you are? And I looked at him. You know, we were all new in the boys' hostel, away from family. First time we had left family. We were eating food in the canteen. It was really tough. I had never lived away from my parents. It was really tough. And someone telling me that you are so good, it felt like a soothing balm to my aching heart. I looked at him. I felt so good that I was being glorified and appreciated and praised. He said, Abhay, you are such a good person. Do you know? In fact, there is no one as good as you. Now I thought this was a little too much, but it felt good because I was being comforted. I was being appreciated. It really felt very good. I remember I was feeling so joyful when he was glorifying me. He said, you are very special. Please understand. And then he said, actually, I am also very special. Actually, we are all very special. We are all God. It's just that we have forgotten it. We have to give up everything material and meditate that I am God, and one day we will realize it and we'll become God. And I have seen sannyasis who have become like that, he told me. You think this ISKCON Krishna consciousness, what they are teaching, is very old? We have got Jain scriptures that are older than your Bhagavad Gita. And they teach us that actually we are God. Please believe, Abhay, you are very good. And he embraced me. We will study together. We'll go to the library together. Don't worry. Actually, you are God. There is nothing you cannot do. And there is nothing I cannot do. You know, he told me like that. And it felt really good when it said that. This philosophy, for an egoistic person, it feels really good, my dear friends. Please think about this a little bit. We chant our Shikshashtakam prayers every day. I was hearing one lecture of my revered Guru Maharaj. And he said something that I had never thought about. Every day we chant this Shikshashtakam prayers before we begin our japa, but I had never thought of it like this. Please give me your careful audience. Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj was saying, Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani, janmani shware bhavatat bhakti rahe tukitoi. Maharaj said, think about this verse a little bit. Verse number 4 of Sri Chaitanya Shikshashtakam. Mahaprabhu is teaching us na dhanam, no wealth, because we can become very proud of our wealth. It feels good to be rich and successful. How nice we feel when we talk to people from our school that we have lost in touch, we have lost touch, and then we meet after a long time and we discuss, oh, what are you doing? What, you're a doctor in America? Yeah. Oh, you're not in an apartment, you have your own house. Oh, wow. This, we like to tell how successful we are. I have got a car now, I have got a green card, I'm a citizen. Even on Facebook, that's all it is, showing how successful we are. Nobody is going to put on Facebook that I had a fall down today. I could not finish my 16 rounds today. Please help. My japa was very inattentive today. Will anybody put that status update? No. On social media, we want to show how successful we are, how we have got everything figured out, how we are in control, how we are the enjoyers. I went here. Adi Gadhar Das is checking into such and such place, restaurant or airport, to show everyone, I am an enjoyer. Look at me. Have you been to this restaurant? No, I have been. I have been served food, gourmet food in that restaurant. I enjoyed. That's what you want to show. Finished a triathlon, finished a marathon race. We are putting it out to show how successful we are. Because money and other things make us look successful. Money is honey, my dear Sonny. The rich man's joke is always funny. Yeah. One person was telling me that he won a lottery ticket. And so they would have, he was doing a 9-to-5 job in office, middle class, lower middle to middle middle class, entry level job in the engineering market. And suddenly he got a lottery. We don't buy lottery tickets. We have already won the lottery because we have got the shelter of the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. The biggest jackpot lottery all of us have already won. We don't need the nonsensical temporary lotteries of this world. But this fellow, he got like lakhs of rupees in the lottery. So he was bragging that, you know, now I don't have to work. I'm going to go and just give my resignation letter to my boss. No, I'm not going to work there for peanuts. I've done that enough. Now I've got lottery. So I told him, now everyone knows in your office you won the lottery. What is the change you are noticing? He said, oh, everybody is so polite to me. Because we have a lunch room where in the lunch break we all go and eat our lunch. And there are less chairs and more employees. So every time I would go, there would be shortage of chairs. But he told me, since I have won the lottery and everybody knows I won the lottery, there is never a shortage of chairs for me. He told me that. Yes, money is honey, my dear Sonny. The rich man's joke is always funny. If we have money, people will respect us. Why do people respect all these big Mr. Musk and Zuckerberg and all others, big Google CEOs? And why do people respect? Because they have money. You take away the money and nobody will even look at them twice. Seriously, it's a fact. So Mahaprabhu says, na dhanam. That's a big loss for the false ego. Now I will not be glorified because of money. Na dhanam, na janam. It feels so nice. There are 43 devotees listening to the beautiful nectarian words flowing out of my lotus mouth. They have left everything and they're listening to me. Yes, it is such a massage for our false ego. It is so nourishing and comforting to the false ego. Yes, I'm popular. Yes, people are following me. People are following me on Facebook. People are following me on Instagram, on Twitter and whatnot, and Snapchat and TikTok too. All those things. People are following. It feels good to have followers. People are following. But Mahaprabhu says, na janam. No followers. I don't want followers. Another big assault on the false ego. Na dhanam, na janam, and na sundarim. It is such a act of prestige to show that we have got a partner who is very handsome or very beautiful or very successful. We like to flaunt. People like to flaunt their partners. People fight over partners. There are acid attacks for a partner in life. So many things are going on because people feel very proud that I have got someone beautiful who I am enjoying. That is what it is all about. Why do we want to look good? Why do we want our spouse to look good? So everyone understands. Please, I'm putting it out very bluntly. But there is no need to cover up these things and sugarcoat these things. This is the hardcore reality of life. Why do we like to have a good-looking spouse? Because we want to show the world, I am the enjoyer of this person. Yes, you see this beauty? I am the sole enjoyer. That's why when there is an extramarital affair, there is a fight. And it is a valid reason for divorce. My dear friends, there are two valid reasons for divorce in this world. One is extramarital affair. And number two, impotence. If you cannot satisfy me, my senses, it is a ground for divorce. If someone can medically prove that the partner is impotent, it's a valid ground for divorce. Nothing else is required. You can divorce. Just see. So what are we telling this world? That the purpose of getting married is sense gratification. There is nothing else to marriage. But Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us, Guru na shashyat, swajana na satsyat, pita na satsyat, janani na satsyat, deva na satsyat, na pati na satsyat, na mokshayetyo samupeta mrutyum. You cannot become a pati, you cannot become a husband unless you can deliver them from the repeated cycle of birth and death. But no, in the material world, the purpose of getting married is sense enjoyment. Sense enjoyment. My birthday is coming, I want to put my photo on Facebook. I need to lose 5 pounds or 10 pounds before my birthday because I want to look good. So this is a very sick mentality and we should sit and search our heart and analyze. What are we after? Even in kirtans, even in temples, I have seen people, you know, decking up so much, you know, wearing such fancy bagalbandis and kurtas and so many things. Why? Because they want attraction. They want to attract the attention of everyone. No, we come to the temple to feel attracted to the holy name and to Radha Krishna who are on the altar. Srila Prabhupada is sitting in the drab saffron robes of a sannyasi in the temple hall. And we want to go decked up with expensive glittery clothes and jewelry. We cannot get Krishna with this attitude. We have to become simple in life. We have to become lovers of Krishna. Na sundarim. I don't want to enjoy the beauty of the opposite sex or same sex. Na dhanam. So this is another blow to the false ego because in the material world, the greatest happiness is sense gratification. And within sense gratification, you know what? The coming together of two people. That is considered to be the greatest sense gratification, greatest happiness in this material world. And Mahaprabhu says, no. Na sundarim. All right. So na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. I don't want wealth. I don't want followers. And I don't want to enjoy the beauty of the opposite sex. All right. At least can I be known as a very intelligent person who doesn't want all these things? A very renowned person, very cultured person, very educated person who doesn't want all these things. Can I be known like that? Like a famous devotee? Kavitam va jagadisha kamaye. Kavitam va jagadisha kamaye. No, it is not my kamana Hey Jagadish, hey Krishna, it is not my kamana, it is not my desire to be known as a kavi, as a very learned person, very expert person. No, this person is very expert. No, that's why I don't want that distinction. This is a third assault on the false ego. All right, so you want me to enjoy nothing, basically, in this material world. Let me get liberated then. Let me get liberated. I don't want to be in this material world. What? Why should I stay in the material world if na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam, vajapadisha kamay? I might as well just get liberated. I want liberation. No, that also not. Mama janmani, janmanishware. I'm willing to take repeated births in this material world. I don't even want moksha. I don't even want liberation. Srila Radhana Swami Maharaj was saying, this is such an assault. A five-pronged assault on the false ego by Pancha Tattva. Our Pancha Tattva, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is putting a five-pronged assault. Not Trishul, but Panchashul. Five-pronged attack on our false ego. And false ego is the root cause of why we are in this material world. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. Kavitam va jagadisha kamaya mama janmani janmanishwar. Okay. So what should I do then? What is there left now? No liberation, no wealth, no beauty, no followers, no fame and distinction of being very intelligent. What is there in this world? What should I do with my life? These are the five things we pursue. What should I do? Mahaprabhu answers. Mama janmani janmanishware bhavatat bhaktir ahaitukitvai. Ahaituki bhakti. Pure devotion without expecting anything. Marobi rakhobi jo ichha tohar nitya dasa tua prati adhikar. Nitya dasa prati tua adhikar. You have the adhikar, you are the controller, you are my adhikari, you are my authority, you are my controller, Krishna. You can do whatever you want. Manasa deha geha jo kichumor arapilu tua pade nanda kishor. So this is called ahaituki bhakti. You just serve Krishna without expecting anything. All right, hold on. So the five things that are very precious, you are saying no, no, no. You are forbidding those five things. You are taking them away from me. This is such an assault on the false ego. So what about the false ego? You have ruthlessly attacked my false ego, Mahaprabhu. So now what is the solution? Mahaprabhu says, I will make your true ego rise. I have taken away your false ego. I have destroyed your false ego. I have assaulted and killed your false ego. My dear child, my dear devotee, now I will give you the true ego. Because we cannot be egoless. Either we have true ego or we have false ego. Right now in the conditioned state, we have false ego. That I am enjoyer. Karta aham iti manyate. So we have got this ahankar. That I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. This is a false ego. And Mahaprabhu is destroying that false ego. But please give us a higher taste. Yes, Mahaprabhu, I will give you higher taste. Param Drishwani Vats. I will give you higher taste. What is the higher taste? True ego. I will give you true ego. What is my true ego? Fifth verse. That's where the fifth verse comes into the picture. Srila Radhana Swami Maharaj says the fifth verse. What is true ego? Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram. Hey, Nanda Tanuja. Hey, Nanda Nandan Krishna. Hey, Shyam Sundar. Who am I? What is my true ego? Kinkara. I am your servant. How may I serve you? Kinkara. What should I do for you? How may I serve you? That is true ego. So this is very beautiful, my dear friend. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is profound. We need to contemplate. I have lots more notes, but we have run out of time. So I will stop here. But if there are any questions or comments, reflections, we can take them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jaya. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji.
Anuradha Prabhuji wants to say something.
Yes, yeah. Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. How wonderfully you have dissected the fourth verse of Sikshastakam. I mean, never looked at it that way. Just recite it and go ahead like every other devotional service I do. Same with this one. So, Prabhu, my question is, as you were saying, we put off on Facebook or social media for showing off how much, you know, what a big enjoyer I am. So here the question is, after becoming devotee, the next level of subtle lust, I would say, is like how to show how what a big devotee I am. I'm talking for myself. And then we put on Facebook where we are going for Harinam, we are going for book distribution and all that stuff. So now the thing is, like, I convince myself saying that, you know, I'm doing it for preaching purpose. But honestly, I don't know. Is it to show off my devotion or to tell people that devotional life is fun? So how do we understand that, Prabhu, and how do we conquer over that sort of ego?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Anuradha Mataji, for your candor. Actually, I am like that for sure. And most of us are like that. We have to be honest with ourselves and search our heart. If we feel, see, Srila Rupa Goswami has taught us Yukta Vairagya. We cannot just reject Facebook. We cannot just reject Instagram. No. If we can use it properly and not get used by social media, by technology, if we can balance our time nicely and we are using it strictly for the purpose of preaching, then more power to you. Do it. No problem. We have to be honest with ourselves, though. We have to introspect and look at our lives, analyze honestly. I personally felt that I was wasting too much time on Facebook. My experience was that there are a lot of criticisms and blasphemy going around on Facebook. And even if I don't want, certain things would pop up. All my friends were devotees on Facebook. But I still left Facebook because I would be unnecessarily exposed to Vaishnava Prad, to Vaishnava Ninda, to Dosh Katha. Why should I read Dosh Katha? I would read certain articles by certain devotees that I liked. But then I thought, I have not read Srila Prabhupada's books yet. I have not read the books of the Acharyas. I have not read the books of Srila Gaur Govind Maharaj. So what right do I have to read something on Facebook that some conditioned soul has written, even though that conditioned soul is a devotee? Why not read Acharya Vani? Why not read the words of the Acharyas instead, who are perfect? So I left Facebook. But if someone can use it for propagating the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada, then use it only for preaching and just put it and then come out of Facebook, not start scrolling and browsing. And because Facebook is designed, all these social media platforms, they are designed in such a way that we keep looking at them again and again. And for a sadhak, that is badhak. For a sadhak, that is a big disturbance in bhajan. How can we chant nicely? Because those images keep coming when we sit down to do japa. So we have to prevent nonsense from coming into our consciousness. And I felt that Facebook did not add any value in my personal bhajan. As far as DT darshan is concerned, that somehow Krishna sends it through our temple WhatsApp group. Every day I get darshan of Shri Radha Madan Mohan, and we have deities at home. So darshan, taking darshan is not a reason to go to Facebook. And reading Acharya Vani is not a reason to go to Facebook either, because all the Acharya Vani is there in the form of books at home. We have got so many books. So that's why. But if someone can use it, Yukta Vairagya, use it properly in the service of Krishna and not get tricked, not get used by Facebook, then it is okay to use. It's fine. Everything can be used in Krishna's service, even Facebook. Is that okay?
Perfect, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Very, very grateful. Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam, Prabhu.
Dandavat Pranam, Jai Srila Prabhupada. Vatsala Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Always you enlighten us in so many different ways. Recently, my son came here. That was a miracle for me to see him. After 1 year, he's a neuroscientist. We are on both. I am in this with Krishna. He's on the other side. But he wanted me, he was asking me where the time is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So I want you to just, you know, maybe give references to me or something that way. He writes a lot of papers and articles, but he wants from our Vedas or something that he can make references. He has only one Bhagavad Gita book that his grandfather gave it to him. But I wanted to present him with Srimad Bhagavatam. And, you know, as I told you, both my sons are on the other end. One is a math professor. This one is a neuroscientist. So they are all exceptionally good. But I simply said, I'm satisfied with the Krishna. And Krishna is everything for me. But that is very hard for him to believe. So, but I don't preach anything to him too much. But by doing my prayers and examples, he knows how mommy is dedicated to her own way of doing bhakti. So how can I, how can I enlighten him about the, you know, time factor in our scriptures? Where would I find the references, or where he would find the
references? It is there. It is there in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Okay.
So what I will do is I will send references to you through Mukta Sangha Prabhu. I know Mukta Sangha Prabhu is in India, but I don't have your WhatsApp, so I will send it to you through Mukta Sangha Prabhu.
So do you want me to just call you and give you the WhatsApp number or email?
Yeah, you have my number. So just message me on WhatsApp. You have my number. Just message me on WhatsApp and I'll share it with you.
Yes, Prabhu, this is very important. He probably is going to write articles because he reads about the big scientists and all in his area. But I want him to know our scriptures, where it is said, what it is going on. And he will give our perspective in the scientific journals.
Sure. Yeah, he should connect with the three devotees, Mataji. Three devotees are very knowledgeable in this regard. One is Pavaneshwar Prabhu. And I will share with you his YouTube channel. Pavaneshwar Prabhu is a Brahmachari. Mm-hmm. And, he's very well studied in all these topics. And also our Hari Parshat Prabhu and Amarendra Prabhu.
I was thinking about Amarendra Prabhu too, because they are all like intellectual type. And I think he needs somebody really bang on him, intellectuals, because he's, you know, he's going through a lot of things right now.
And I will connect with you through WhatsApp and we'll take it.
Yeah. Prabhu, you have your email ID too, right?
Yes. I will put it in the chat box.
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
I always appreciate to talk to you, listen to your lectures, Prabhu. Thank you.
I'm your servant, Mataji. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Yeah. And Chaitanya Charan Prabhu also. I will connect with you, Vatsala Mataji.
Prabhu, thank you. Prabhu, thank you.
Thank you, Karunika Mataji, for mentioning Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. Okay. So, Kasturi Manjari Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, Jayashila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for very nice class and especially the fourth verse of Sikshastakam. That very nicely you described. It's very so much application for me in that. Prabhu, I have a question. It generally comes in my mind many times that when, I'm of course a neophyte, but trying to actually use time appropriately, not waste, trying to. So many times it so happens that when other devotees see and that looks like, okay, I'm a fanatic kind of. And sometimes they say that, oh, we have to be real too, actually. So meaning, people think that, okay, you are not real. You are just posing yourself to be something. So in that situation, what should we do? I'm just wanting to express that, okay, I'm not there, but I want to and I'm trying to. So then how do you respond to such type of, and sometimes it's your superiors also who seem to comment like that, oh, you have to be real too.
Superiors, meaning in Krishna consciousness? Or
mm-hmm. Yeah, Krishna consciousness.
They think that we are hypocrites.
Hypocrites or not hypocrite, but like meaning like it's external, that it's external. You are not real. I mean, it's not real from the heart. Of course, I am not from the heart it is, but I'm trying to. I want to. So then what do we do, Prabhu, like?
Yeah, if someone thinks like that, actually, that is good for us because it is humbling, and we should accept. We should accept that comment or that feedback. The truth is that we are all sick. ISKCON is like a hospital and we are all patients. And our Guru Varga, they are the doctors, the physicians who are treating us. And then there are, the doctors have other professionals who assist them. There are physician assistants, there are nurses. So that is like the counselors or Bhakti Vriksha leaders or mentors. They are doing that job. But actually, in this material world, we are all diseased. We all have diseases. We are all infected with lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, false ego. And as spiritual superiors, our intention should be to encourage devotees. This is, I cannot overemphasize this point, Mataji. I'm going to say it again. As devotees, when we deal with each other, it is our duty, it is our responsibility to encourage each other. I have also seen this. Sometimes the superiors, they are so discouraging to the devotees who look up to them. That is not the mood of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada encouraged from whatever position we are, just encourage them. Srila Prabhupada once saw a devotee spitting into his palm and putting Gopi Chandan and putting Tilak because he didn't have water. He thought it was okay. And some devotees were chastising him, but he was a new bhakta. And Srila Prabhupada said, all right, he has left his material life and at least now he has understood the importance of Gopi Chandan, Tilak. He has understood the importance of Tilak and Kanti. Okay, let us fan that spark. Let us encourage from there. So we should encourage. Recently, one devotee was trying to write something in the service of Hari Guru and Vaishnavas. And his superior chastised him so much that, do you think you are qualified to write? Do you think you are self-realized? Do you think your words are pure? 50 years from now, if somebody reads these words, will it be acceptable? Will there be any mistakes in this? And that devotee, the junior devotee, got very, very discouraged and he gave up that service. So that is not good. That is not the mood of Srila Prabhupada and that is not the mood of our Guru Varga. There should be encouragement. Not that we are given a free hand and do whatever you want, not like that. But there should be encouragement. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have the story of Bhagwan Acharya, such a simple-hearted devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Swarup Damodar Goswami, very strict sannyasi. Now Bhagwan Acharya's some cousin from Varanasi, he wrote a verse glorifying Jagannath. We have all read this story in the Antya Leela. And there were mistakes, philosophical mistakes in that verse. So what did Swarup Damodar Goswami do? He lovingly chastised Bhagwan Acharya that, why are you promoting this relative of yours who has just come from Varanasi? He is not very well learned in the Siddhanta, in the spiritual conclusions, and he will make mistakes and preach wrong philosophy. So don't promote him like that just because he seems to be learned. And Swarup Damodar Goswami lovingly chastised the poet also, the relative of Bhagwan Acharya. But then did Swarup Damodar Goswami rip apart that verse that was composed by the new kavi and threw it into the ocean? Useless. No. He gave an alternate meaning and corrected it so that the verse could be used in proper glorification of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath. So we have to encourage. We have to correct, yes. We have to give feedback, yes. But we have to encourage devotees. A mentor should always encourage people, not discourage them. Is that okay, Kasturi Manjari Mataji?
Yes, Prabhu. And then what I find myself, like if there is that discouragement, then what I feel like shut off, like I won't share my heart, basically. I won't share what I'm doing.
Share with that person, that's okay. We all feel heartbroken and discouraged. Yeah. Don't share with that devotee. But you should find other Sajatiya Sangha, other like-minded association where you are encouraged. Mm-hmm. We all need devotees who will encourage us, who will support us, who will guide us, correct us also, but give us love and encouragement. Without love and encouragement, we cannot advance. Srila Prabhupada saw the spark, saw the potential in the hippies. What was the potential? Yes, they were sleeping on the roads and intoxicating and doing drugs and breaking all the four regulative principles. That was true. But what was their spark? They were searching for the truth. They were fed up with material life. They were fed up with the institution. They were fed up with the government. And they were inquisitive. They were looking for something higher. They were looking to expand their consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada tapped into that. Chant Hare Krishna, go high and never come down. Unlike LSD. And it clicked. So many hippies became happies. That is a leader. That is a leader who encourages by seeing the potential. Even among a heap of faults. Like a chicken. We have that famous story of that devotee, Sri Vaishnav, who wanted to know what are the qualities of a devotee. Salt, crane, chicken. So what is the quality of chicken? Even in a garbage pile, the chicken will pick out something that is good, something that is edible, some pieces of grains, and be happy. Not bother with the filth. So we should be like that. Like the honeybee, not like the housefly. Is that okay, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. Just one little clarification, Prabhu. So, of course, like I, for myself, I'm not there where I can utilize all my time in Krishna service. So, but if one is, if we are trying to, so it's fine that we should continue to try that, even though I'm not like at the heart level there, but trying. So even though like heart is not there, but still trying is fine, right, Prabhu? Like, I mean, it's even though it doesn't sound like it's real, but I'm trying.
No, we have to keep trying. We have to keep struggling. Struggling is good. Problem is when we stop struggling.
Mm-hmm.
We have to keep struggling.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Dandavat Pranam.
Dandavat Pranam. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Yes, Kirtila Sundari Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Before I ask any question, I just want to first ask you, how much time do you have?
I'm off today.
You have time. Good. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for the wonderful session. Wonderful explanation of the fourth verse of Shikshashtakam by Guru Maharaj. And of course, your classes are always always an eye-opener. Whatever you speak, whatever you share. So, Prabhu, in regard to, you know, I may not sound good, but in regard to the point that you made that, you know, the youngsters, they wear that bagalbandi kurtas and they want to show off. My point is, like, what's the harm in doing that? Like, if the youth is at least coming into Krishna consciousness, then instead of wearing those ripped jeans and ripped t-shirts, if they want to wear, you know, the top class bagalbandis and dhotis and kurtas and chadar, then what's the harm in doing that?
For everything, there is good, better and best. So, yeah, wearing ripped jeans and not coming to the temple is the worst. And coming to the temple and, you know, decking up and wearing luxurious clothes is not the ideal standard. Because what I have seen, Mataji, is there are kirtan melas and there are kirtan festivals. And, you know, young boys and girls, they're sitting and singing. And they are not even chanting 16 rounds. They're not even following four regulative principles. And they are leading the kirtan. So what they're doing is they're polluting their consciousness. They're injecting their polluted consciousness into the whole congregation. If we read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, who were the leaders of kirtan in the seven groups? They were all very exalted devotees.
Yeah, of course.
Today is Sri Narhari Sarkar Thakur's tithi. He was the leader of the residents of Sri Khanda. He was the uncle and the guru of Raghunandan Thakur. Such devotees, they would lead kirtan. Devotees of the caliber of Mukunda Datta. Not just anybody. Mahaprabhu could have commissioned a very good classical singer to sing for him. But that is not the qualification. And they are sitting and trying to impress the girls. And girls are trying to impress the boys in kirtan melas. They are having affairs in front of Prabhupada Samadhi Mandir in Vrindavan Dham, in the Krishna Balaram Mandir. That's like the meeting place. So what is that kirtan? That kirtan is basically you're trying to impress. How is it different from what people are doing outside? So therefore, there is a need for training. And therefore, one should not be allowed to lead kirtans in the temple in front of the deities unless and until some basic criteria is met. There should at least be good sadhana, at least 16 rounds. And boys and girls should sit separately. So often I see boys and girls like sitting lap to lap, sitting right next to each other and doing kirtan. Why cannot ladies and prabhus, matajis and prabhus sit separately? You know, they come to sing and then they are just sitting and playing harmonium and right shoulder to shoulder they are sitting, young boys and girls. And even adults also, prabhus and matajis. So this is very unhealthy. This is not the standard that Srila Prabhupada wanted. And this is not the standard that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would approve of. Of course, we can say that, you know, it's better than not coming to the temple. But then my question is, when people come to the temple, sincere people come to the temple and they see this, what example are we setting? What standard are we setting? This is Srila Prabhupada's movement. It is not my movement. It is Srila Prabhupada's movement. And Srila Prabhupada is a Paramhamsa. We are representing a Paramhamsa. So on one hand, it is okay because at least those they are coming to the temple and that is good. But on the other hand, we are ruining the reputation of Srila Prabhupada. If someone who knows what is right, what is wrong, they come and see that this is the standard in ISKCON. That is not good. That is not good. It is not some fashion show. There have been even a fashion show in the temple. Catwalk. Different gopi dresses and different kurtas and this and that in the temple during Jagannath Rath Yatra festival. So this is not good. This is, we can always justify, but we are diluting. And Srila Prabhupada did not want us to dilute. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to boil the milk. Ayendra Prabhu, he was told that you should let ladies also, Vaishnavis also lead kirtan in your 24-hour kirtan mandali. And he refused to allow that because he knew what will happen. When men and women come together, Srimad Bhagavatam explains what happens. Men are like butter and women are like fire. And the Prabhu said, Matajis can have their kirtan separately. They can have it at Srila Prabhupada Samadhi Mandir or somewhere else. No problem. Another hall. But here all the brahmacharis are sitting and I cannot have Matajis sitting in that same little square area because space is less. So who has potency like Ayendra Prabhu? Who has purity like Ayendra Prabhu? So one time Her Grace Urmila Devi, she was telling that she wanted to discuss something with Shripada Ayendra Prabhu. And she made an appointment with him. And Ayendra Prabhu came late. And he was quite a bit late, 15, 20, 30 minutes late. And Urmila Mataji was waiting there. And when he came, he had a brahmachari, he had another boy with him, another man with him, another prabhu with him. So he said, I was trying to find somebody because I'm a brahmachari. I cannot talk to a lady alone. And I couldn't find anyone to accompany me. This is the standard. This purity has force. We can wear all sorts of bagalbandis and with nice borders and this and big, big dhotis and everything and have hair gelled up and in a nice, neat hairstyle and we can do all those things. But my question is, will we get Krishna by doing that? Ultimately, in the temple, at home, we can do whatever you want. Outside the temple, we can do whatever you want. My only thing is, don't do it in the temple in front of Prabhupada, in front of Radha Madan Mohan, in front of Gaur Mita. Because we are representing Srila Prabhupada in the temple. Don't do it in kirtan festivals. You organize a kirtan festival in your home and dress up the way you want, sit next to a girl, do whatever you want. But don't misrepresent Srila Prabhupada in the temple. There should be some standard in the kirtan melas and in the kirtan festivals. And the value is not in how beautifully you can take the taan and alap and no. The thing is, what is your purity and why you're singing? Are you singing it for the pleasure of Mahaprabhu? Are you calling out to Radha and Krishna for purification, for seva? Or are you trying to see how many people are impressed and how big a slot I get, prime time slot I get? There are singers in kirtan festivals. There are mridanga players. There are kartal players who charge. I will lead kirtan for 1 hour. I will take 5,000 rupees. Prabhuji, you know my rate, na? I will come for your Kirtan festival. You know my rate, na, Prabhu? Mridanga, 1 hour, 3,000. As soon as 1 hour is over, they will get up. They will get up because I am only paid for 1 hour. Is this the standard? Is this Prem Naam Sankirtan? Charging for Harikatha, charging for Kirtan. This is not good. This is not good. We should not hear such Kirtan and such Harikatha. We want to follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada. We want to follow in the footsteps of our Guru Varga, who are pure. ISKCON should be Srila Prabhupada's movement that creates pure devotees, not a place for spiritual entertainment. So some reform has to be there. These are my thoughts. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. Of course, what you said was literally heights of everything, like charging for the kirtan or sitting together and making all those love affairs. Of course, that's not what Prabhupada movement is. Definitely not, Prabhu. But thank you. Thank you for the wonderful answers. And especially I like that when we chant, when we do kirtan, the mood is to call out Radha and Krishna, not to impress anyone around. And that's true, Prabhu. Thank you. Thank you so much for the wonderful answer. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Sukha Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranams. Such a beautiful class, Prabhu, like always, with so many lessons and sometimes very controversial points to which, you know, I tend to think of it sometimes myself. And I just had one question following Kirtida Mataji's question and your answers to her. This has happened. I don't want to take names, but when my Prabhu, he is kind of particular about, you know, women sitting on one side and Vaishnavas on one side, Vaishnavis on one side. So when he sees in the temple, like some person come and sit with the ladies, he says, you know, we have a separate side for men. Can you please move there? But he has been scorned and he has been, you know, chastised for doing that, saying that he is, you know, he shouldn't be doing that to people who are coming to the temple. And he's like, why shouldn't I? I mean, we are supposed to sit that way. But this has led to a lot of problems also in that sense, Prabhuji. So I want to hear from you, what your thoughts are, how, you know, they say that we are kind of, you know, dousing, like you said, fan the spark, and we are dousing the spark by putting these regulations to people who are visiting the temple and they get disgusted and they may not come back.
Hare Krishna. Time, place and circumstances, it depends. In India, it is easy to enforce these rules that men and women should sit separately because it is very well understood. In India, we have ladies' compartment and gents' compartment, even in the trains and railways. So in India, it is acceptable because that culture is there still. In the Western world, it may be a little controversial because that's not how they sit in the churches. They all sit together. So this requires discussion. This requires, you know, adjusting based on time, place, and circumstances. But if we explain properly, even in the Western world, that this is just for comfort because, you know, we clap, we at times stand up and start dancing. So it's better if men and women are separate because this is accepted in all the cultures that, you know, women should be respected and there should not be close contact. That is there in Christian culture, Muslim culture, every culture, Jewish culture. So that will be acceptable. It's just that we have to explain it properly. Not that this is a better place, so the men will sit. And this dirty place, let the ladies sit. We are not discriminating. It should not come across as if in ISKCON we discriminate. Men are higher and women are less. Women cannot speak Harikatha. Women cannot lead Kirtan. Not like that. Women can do everything. Hemalata Thakurani, the daughter of Shridhima Sacharya, Janava Mataji, Vishnupriya Thakurani, they were all spiritual masters. The Diksha Gurus. So women can do everything in Krishna consciousness. There is no discrimination. But why we are segregating, that has to be explained properly. Then it can be implemented. Always there will be, regarding your question about your husband, always there will be conservatives and liberals. So this will always be there. I might get into trouble today for what I spoke. Hare Krishna. So,
Prabhuji, would that be conservative if we just try to follow the rules? And I have just one more question, Prabhuji, because that's what is the standard Prabhupada wanted, right? I mean, so, I mean. Why is it being looked upon as conservative?
Yeah, so I will explain this and then you can go to your next question. So Krishna consciousness, Mataji, there are principles and there are preferences. We have to always remember there are principles and there are preferences. And the leaders have to decide what are the principles and what are the preferences. Today is Ekadashi. The principle is that we should not eat onion, we should not eat grains. That is a principle that cannot be compromised. What is the preference? Whether we should do Nirjala or we should do Sajala. Whether we should drink water and other fruits and milk, or we should just completely abstain from food and water. That is a personal preference. But fasting from grains is compulsory. That is a principle. So there are principles and there are preferences. And conservative is a person who is conservative with the principles. And liberal is a person who is liberal with the preferences. I repeat, this is very important to understand. A conservative is a person who is conservative with the principles. And a liberal is a person who is liberal with the details, with the preferences. Problem happens when a conservative becomes conservative about the preferences. Problem happens when a conservative starts becoming conservative about the preferences, the details. And because when that happens, the conservative becomes a fanatic and people are turned off, turned away. And problem also happens when a liberal becomes liberal with the principles. A liberal is supposed to be liberal with the details, with the preferences. But when a liberal becomes liberal with the principles, like four regulative principles, then it's a problem. Then there is dilution and there is fall down. So both extremes are not good. We don't want to be fanatical and turn people away, turn off people from our movement. And we don't want to dilute it so much that we fall down. So conservatives should be conservative with the principles, not with the details. And liberals should be liberal with the details, not liberal with the principles. Principles should not be compromised. So this requires a discussion. This requires maturity. And it is the duty of the leaders to draw the line. What is a principle and what is a preference? In my opinion, this is a principle. That in the temple hall, in front of the deities, in front of Srila Prabhupada, where we are representing ISKCON, men and women, like Srila Prabhupada said, Prabhupada could have said that just mix, sit anywhere. No, Prabhupada said 50% of the temple hall for ladies, Vaishnavis, 50% of the temple hall for Prabhujis. Prabhupada said, so we should follow. I think it's a principle. So being conservative with this principle is nothing wrong. It's not fanatic. It's required. Is that okay, Mataji? You can ask your next question now. Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, my next question was, you said regarding the kirtan being led by, you know, people who may not be trained or who may not be at advanced level because their consciousness can permeate through and, you know, not give the same effect as, if a devotee is doing the kirtan. I had asked the same question to another speaker also, and he told in Shastras there is no such reference because our, many temples I've been to, they do have preferences in terms of who does kirtan. And generally the chance is given to advanced devotees, which is great. I mean, like you said, the consciousness helps everybody. But then he said the holy name itself is so purifying. And he's a Sanskrit scholar, and he said there's absolutely no reference to this, that, you know, anybody who takes the holy name, you know, will have, depending on the mood of the listener, he or she will have the same effect because the holy name is all purifying. So there is no Shastric reference to, why only, a person who is actively involved in devotion life should be singing, leading the kirtan. That's what was the reply I got.
Then we should invite Kumar Sanu and Sonu Nigam and Brian Adams to lead kirtan because they will do a better job. For ISKCON dramas, we should invite Shah Rukh Khan and Brad Pitt and all those actors. They will act even better than us. It's not like that. There is ample Shastric reference for this. Who was chosen to speak to Parikshit Maharaj? There are so many great sadhus there. Anybody could have been chosen. Why only Radharani's parrot? Why only Shukdev Goswami? Because he was the most qualified. There was Vashishtha Muni there. There was Vishwamitra Muni. Why they were not allowed to speak? At least allow them to speak for 1 hour. give them a 1 hour slot. Let's take turns. One day Shukadeva Goswami will speak, one day somebody else will speak. No. Shukadeva Goswami had the Vyasa sent to himself 7 days and seven nights. Then it is Kirtan. Then Parishat Maharaj will attain perfection through Shravan. Shuddhana. If the holy name is all pure and there is no difference, then why there are categorizations of Namaparad, Namabhas, and Shuddhana? Why Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Nam Akshar Nahi Nam? The syllables of Nam are not the Nam. The real Nam is Shuddhanam. When Krishna, out of his mercy, is pleased and descends and dances on the tongue, that is Shuddhanam. Why Prabhupada's Kirtan was effective? Sitting with a broken drum in Tompkins Square Park. No Kartal, no Mridan, no harmonium. Why that transformed the hearts of people? Why devotees are willing to shave up and take sannyas by hearing that Kirtan? Why Prabhupada would give lectures? Why not ask us anybody, new bhakta? Call some professor who is very good at giving lecture. Why did Suta Goswami speak Bhagavatam? Because he was humble and he had heard it very attentively from Shukadeva Goswami, so he was qualified. Why his father was not allowed to speak by Lord Balaram? Because he was proud, he was contaminated, and he could infect the audience. Balaramji killed him. You are not Romarjana Suta, you are not qualified to speak. Then Suta Goswami went to Shukadeva Goswami. He was sitting in that assembly. He heard. He was purified. And then when Suta Goswami came to Naimisharanya, he was qualified to sit on the Vyasasana. Until then, the Vyasasana was empty. The most qualified person should speak. Who does puja in the temple? Why not let anybody do puja? Get some fashion designer to decorate the deities. They will draw nice designs and Gopi Chandan. No, why only Brahmins who are trying to develop Brahmanical qualities, chanting Gayatri, chanting 16, are allowed to do deity worship in the temple? Why only Brahmins are allowed to cook? Why not call, who is that, Kapoor? Some Shekhar Kapoor or something? Why not call some chef, paid chef, to cook for the Lord? No. Bhaktya tushyati kevalam nacha gunaye bhakti priyo madhava. Krishna is satisfied by bhakti. Krishna doesn't need our singing. He has Radharani and Vishakha Sakhi singing for him in Goloka Vrindavan. He doesn't. Mahaprabhu doesn't need us. He has Mukunda, Madhav, and Govinda Ghosh, the three Ghosh brothers singing for him. Mahaprabhu doesn't need. He's very high class. Nor does he need our prayers. He has Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami and Sanatan Goswami offering Chaitanya Ashtakams after Chaitanya Ashtakams to him. He doesn't need our stuti. But why does he accept? Because Bhavagrahi Janardhan. Patram Pushpam Phalam Tom Yome Bhaktya Parayashati. Krishna is looking for devotion. Krishna doesn't need our things. He needs our devotion. Krishna doesn't need our alap and taan and which melody we can sing so nicely. All that is important. If we can do that, great. But that is not the primary criteria. So there is enough Shastric reference why only a qualified person should speak and lead Kirtan. We only have to read the Madhyalila of Chaitanya Charitamrita for evidence, Shastric evidence. Mahaprabhu would select who is going to sing, who is going to play the Mridanga, who is going to play the Kartal, how many Kartals, how many Mridangas, how many responders to the lead singer, and who will be the lead singer. Everything Mahaprabhu would decide. Mahaprabhu would tell Swarup Damodar Goswami, you sing now. Not that some classical singer from the court of Maharaj Pratap Rudra is coming and singing. No, the best person should do it. Who is most qualified and who is most devoted. Both expertise is required. I'm not saying expertise is not required. Expertise is required. But there should be purity also. Srila Prabhupada told Srila Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, you preach and develop Mayapur. That's what it did. Srila Prabhupada told Srila Jananivas Prabhu, you stay and you worship Radha Madhav. And that's what he did. That's what he's doing. And both are brilliantly successful. Both are pure devotees. Both are brilliantly successful in their own ways. So service is given based on qualification and personal character, personal swabhav. But there has to be purity also. Why not ask Srila Jananivas Prabhu to travel all over the world and have 50, 60,000 disciples? No, because Srila Jananivas Prabhu's swabhav is that he wants to do deity worship, he wants to stay and worship Ashtasakis and Radha Madhav in such a way that we take darshan. When the congregation goes and takes darshan, it is Jananivas Prabhu's service that has pleased Radha Madhav so much that they will cast their merciful glance on everyone. And all the people standing in Chandrodaya Mandir will be benefited by the service of Jananivas Prabhu. And Srila Jayapada Swami Maharaj can go to South America, he can go to Bangladesh, and he can sweep villages like no one else can. Because his Nithai Shakti. Both are pure devotees. But their service is different. So yes, someone who can sing, but should also be a sincere devotee. Someone who is good at presenting Harikatha, presenting the Tattva Siddhanta, should speak Harikatha. But that person should also have devotion. Not just someone who can present nicely and no, should have devotion, should have bhajan, should have. That's why purity is the force. So purity is required. And the youth, they should be encouraged. But in the temple, the standard should be high. At home programs, here and there, it's okay. Nagar Sankirtan, yeah, you encourage everyone. Because they have to learn, na? Like someone can give a small presentation in a Bhakti Vriksha, but they will not be allowed to give Sunday feast or Bhagavatam class in the temple. That only seasoned preachers do, who have knowledge, who have Shastra Yukti. Is that making sense, Mataji? Sorry, I'm speaking very heavy. I'm feeling bad.
No, Prabhu. It's so beautiful. The points you just mentioned, they strike a chord. I appreciate all your answers, Prabhu, and all the points which you presented with regards to how the consciousness, you know, needs to be elevated. And that's when it will have more effect in the preaching, in terms of preaching. That's what really helps. So I'm really grateful for all your answers. So please don't feel it's heavy. I mean, it's nice that I'm able to get your association and get your views and thoughts on this subject, Prabhu. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.
Hey. Do you still have time? I'm sorry, I'm coming back again. Prabhu, do you still have some time? I have only one question, Prabhu.
Yes.
Yeah, so Prabhu, coming to your question only, why Brahmanas are allowed in the kitchen, because I cook for our deities in the temple. So it hit me, because I don't have a good consciousness. I may have the external qualification by my Guru Maharaj's mercy. But as you said, why Krishna Prabhupada wanted the Brahmanas and the devotees. Externally, it may look like I'm doing my 16 and all the stuff that's needed to cook. But the consciousness is not good, Prabhu. So do we not, or do I not do the seva?
If our superiors have given us the service and we have received that service, we should do the service. And we should try our best to qualify ourselves. Instead of giving up the service, we should try to step up to the standard. Mm-hmm. That is better. Is that okay?
Yes, Prabhu. I heard Radhisham Prabhu also says, if you are not qualified, make yourself qualified. So yeah, that aligns completely. Thank you, Prabhu. I will try, and please bless me.
A sincere devotee like yourself will never feel that I'm qualified. So
please bless me, and Prabhuji, pray for me that I become qualified, because that food goes to everybody. So if I have a contaminated consciousness, everybody, it will be spread to others. So may I not do that offense, Prabhu. Please pray for me and bless me, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. I'll pray, Mataji. Not qualified to bless, but I'll pray. Hare Krishna. So let me quickly go through the chat just to see if there are any questions here. So Sarita Mataji asked, when you mentioned about your friend telling you we can be God, is it okay to think that we can be God? No, Sarita Mataji, we should never think that we can become God, because we can never become God. A jiva can never become Jagadish. A jiva can never become Jagadish. Krishna is Jagadish. Krishna is God. And we are a servant of Krishna. So we should think that I want to become godly, not God. We cannot become God, but we can become godly by becoming devotees. Is that okay, Sarita Mataji? I'm trying to see if there are any questions. Raj Prabhu has written, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. On that note, Prabhuji, is it better to have new bhaktas to give Bhagavatam rather to not have Bhagavatam class? So Rajeshwari Priya Mataji is asking, is it better to have new bhaktas give Bhagavatam class or to not have Bhagavatam class at all? So again, it is something that has to be discussed, that the leaders have to decide. Bhagavatam class must be there. Either we can play a recording of Srila Prabhupada's classes. There are thousands of Bhagavatam classes of Srila Prabhupada and everyone can hear. Or there are other disciples of Srila Prabhupada who have given wonderful classes. They can be played. But if there is no one and these devotees will feel encouraged, then from time to time, even new bhaktas, if there is no one else, from time to time, Srila Prabhupada did that. Srila Prabhupada sometimes would give chance to his fledgling disciples to give class. All of them were fledgling at that time. And Srila Prabhupada would sit and hear and give constructive feedback and appreciate and encourage them. So if there is no one else, like Srila Prabhupada said, if there is an emergency, even a foot soldier can be made a commander. That is called apadharma. It's emergency religion because there is no one else. So if there is no one else, we cannot have a recorded class for Sunday feast. We cannot have a recorded class every day. Once in a while, we can do that. In many temples, on one day in a week, the Bhagavatam class is Srila Prabhupada's class. But Srila Prabhupada wanted us to speak, because if we don't speak, how will we become purified? So if there is no one, whoever is the most qualified, they should be encouraged to speak. And we should try to become qualified. Like Srila Prabhupada said, how much time it becomes, how much time it takes to become qualified. Prabhupada says, one moment. Just surrender, promise Srila Prabhupada and promise Radha Krishna that from today, I will not do anything that is against the four regulative principles. From today, I will chant 16 rounds. From today, I will not waste my time. I will not criticize anybody. I will read Srila Prabhupada's books every day. I will hear lectures every day. I'll try to be pure from today. We can make that sankalpa and then we can give class. Srila Prabhupada says. So, I hope, is that okay, Rajeshwari Priya Mataji? Yes, so I think we are done. Gopal, I'm in the middle of a class. Maithili, wait, beta. So we will stop here. Is that okay? Kirtila Sundari Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for your association. Thank you so much for the beautiful class and wonderful question and answer session.
Hare Krishna.
Our obeisances. Kamadiki Mataji, you want to take over or should I go ahead?
Yeah, I'll take over.
Thank you
very much, Prabhuji, for very enlightening class and also very nice answers to the questions and applicable. And we look forward to your association again in the future, soon in the future.
Thank you.
And no one has enough questions, so we can end the call now by your permission, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Patitanam Bhavanebhyo
Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.
Thank
you very much.
Mahaprabhu ki
jai. Thank you.
Thank you.